for the last over a month now that we've really felt like our church is being called to prayer. And it's just kind of interesting how this came about right in the middle of our series on prayer. I don't think we could have asked for a better witness to any of us about the power of prayer. And that's really what it is. It's a miracle, absolutely. It's a restoring health and healing of a relationship. But I think ultimately that's really what it is. It's an answer and it's an example of the power of prayer. And it just reminds us, and let me just remind you today again, even though we kind of know it in the back of our head, but the way our schedules get and the way things have a way of crowding into our time slots and so forth, let me just say this, it is not a waste of time. It is not a waste of time when we take that time and we pray. The Bible says it's not a waste of time, and Jesus says that it's not a waste of time. And we started to look at that last week, and I want to just take a little bit more time this morning and look at what Jesus had to say about prayer. He said, you know what? He did say there is some kinds of prayer that is a waste of time. And he talks about that. And then from the negative, though, he goes to the positive and he says, but here's prayer that isn't a waste of time. You know, looking at our intentions and where our hearts are at and how we can know when our prayers are working and when maybe they're not quite in line to where they should be. And Jesus gives us some practical examples. So I just want to read through that again, and then we're going to take a few minutes and look at it. Learning how to pray is kind of what we're calling this series, because Jesus answered his disciples. When his disciples said in Luke, they saw that he had spent the entire night in prayer. And they're like, man, there's got to be something going on here that we don't know. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus didn't say, well, you know, just talk to God. He actually said, no, there's something to it. And he taught them how to pray. And Matthew gives us a similar version of what he said to them. And we're going to look at that. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. That's where Jesus said, when you pray, like we said last week, he didn't say if you pray. If you're interested in following God, that's one of the things you do. You'll pray. He said, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition. In one translation, he says, babbling like the pagans. He says, like they do, he says, for they think that they're going to be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Oh, I skipped. I'm sorry. Let me go back. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. And I don't think we'd want that reward. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then he says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions or babbling like the pagans do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. And then that's what he says, what most of us are probably very familiar with. He says, pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And then he adds this one thing on the end. He says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. In other words, Jesus says, I'm not just looking for people to pray the truth. He says, I'm looking for people to live it. He says, you know, lots of times, I think what he's implying here is lots of times we pray for God to change our circumstances and to make things better. And what Jesus says, sometimes, you know what, when you pray, your circumstances get worse and they change, but they change for the worse because he wants us to change for the better. Sometimes God wants to change our circumstances, but sometimes he doesn't. Because he's more interested in us changing than our circumstances changing. And one of the ways in which he wants us to change here, he says that we would be able to forgive others. And if we don't forgive others, he says, then you're wasting your time. He says, forgive us, he says, for if you forgive others their transgressions, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In other words, you can't have it both ways. You can't ask God to forgive you, but then not be willing to ask others to forgive you as well or to forgive them what maybe they've done to you. If you want forgiveness on the vertical level, then you have to be willing to issue it on the horizontal level. It's just the way it works, he says. And in fact, not only could you be wasting your time if you pray these things but don't live them out, could be wasting eternity. He says, if you can't forgive others, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. That's pretty intense. What does that mean to not be forgiven by your heavenly Father? I'd rather not ask. So now we're going to just go back to the top here for a second and review a little bit about what we talked about last week. It says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, he says. Jesus gives this example. If you pray like these guys are praying, then you actually are wasting your time. Not only are you wasting your time, he says you're a hypocrite. So what is a hypocrite? We said that a hypocrite is someone who is presenting to be something on the outside, but is something different on the inside. And Jesus says, when it comes to prayer, it's someone who prays to be publicly acknowledged by men, but doesn't pray privately to be acknowledged by God. It's kind of like, I was thinking about this, you know what it is? I think it's like God is after a relationship with us. So it's sort of like if a guy has a girl that maybe he uses as more of an escort. You know, when you have a company party. So, you know, you feel kind of awkward. Everybody else is going to have a spouse or somebody else that's going to be with them. So you ask her, yeah, she'll come with you. So she goes to the company party with you. Or if there's some other event that you have to go to and you know everybody else is probably going to have their girlfriend or their boyfriend with them or their spouse. And so you don't want to go there without somebody. So you ask them again to go to that so that you don't have to be the odd man out. So you ask her to go with you. But you really have no intention of having any relationship with her. There's really no desire to get to know her or spend any private time with her at all. And God says, you know, that can be sort of like the same way it could be with me. You know, you could go to a wedding and they ask to pray. And of course, well, you're going to bow your head. You're going to feel funny that, you know, you don't want to at least join everybody else. You don't want to look like you're not into this relationship being blessed. So you bow your head. And you pray with everybody else. Or on the other end of the spectrum, it could be at a funeral or a memorial. And they say, well, let's pray. And so, yeah, you know, you don't want to look like some kind of cold-blooded, unfeeling person. So you bow your head and you pray with everybody else. But the bottom line is that you really don't have any relationship with God. Do you think that's all God is after? That we just do those public prayers when, you know, it looks good to everybody else? He says, I don't want that. He says, I don't want just a quick date. I don't want you to just bring me around when it looks good. That's a hypocrite. I want you to go into a private room. He says right here, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father.
He says, I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you. I want to develop a relationship with you.
And then he says, here's another way that you could be wasting your time praying. He says, meaningless repetitions. And like I said, one translation says, babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their much speaking. Babblings is kind of a funny word. I looked that up in the original Greek, and it's a word that is spelled kind of strange, and I looked at the, listened to the pronunciation, and it said, batalegia. So Jesus says, when you pray, don't batalegia. And I thought, well, maybe that's a little bit like diarrhea of the mouth. You know, where you're just talking on, and it's like, what are they saying anyway, you know? And I looked up some old prayers from the ancient religions of the pagan times, of maybe what Jesus was referring to. And I found an old Egyptian pagan prayer, and I thought, man, this kind of looks like maybe what Jesus was talking about. Look at this, just a small little smidget of an introduction of an ancient pagan prayer from the Egyptian gods. Amun-Ra, I guess was his name. Hail to thee, Amun-Ra, Lord of the thrones of the earth, the oldest existence, ancient of heaven, support of all things, chief of the gods, Lord of truth, father of gods, maker of men and beasts and herbs, maker of all things above and below, Lord of wisdom, Lord of mercy, most loving and opener of every eye. And that's just the beginning part of it. It's almost like there were two things going on in these people's heads. And that was, are the gods listening? And number two, are they mad at me? And if they are, then, you know, they would just have this huge introduction trying to flatter the gods and make them okay with them. You know, that they would be all right. And in a certain way, maybe it's not a whole lot different today. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I just recite this prayer 10 times and I recite this prayer 20 times, then I'll be off the hook. Do you ever have those religious trainings where, you know, and do we really think that's what God's after? Imagine if in your relationship that would work. See, God wants a relationship with us. Would that really work in your marriage, Billy? You know, well, listen, Billy, just come in. I know you messed up yesterday, but Don says when you come in, just repeat those vows to me 20 times when you come in and everything will be good. I love you for better or worse, richer or poorer. I love you for better or worse, richer or poorer. Okay, we're good. See, God is looking for us to interact with Him, and so Jesus comes along and He says, listen, when you pray, I want you to understand something. Just come to me and refer to me as your Father. The Hebrew word there, Abba, that He told is really the same as Dad, Daddy, or Papa. And He's just getting this idea across that, listen, God is on your side. He wants to give you favor and blessing and generosity. This God, Jesus, says He wants to give you what you need, right? We often hear that. Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. Not just your felt needs, but your real needs. So when you come to this God, our fundamental posture should really be pleasure, joy. Not an unholy fear or paranoia. Here's what Peter said. It was probably as close to the Lord as anybody. He wrote this in one of his letters. He said this, 1 Peter, his first letter, chapter 1, verse 8. He says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an, look at this, inexpressible and glorious joy. The original 1610 King James says, joy unspeakable and full of glory, beyond even being able to articulate. And what's wild is, when Peter said this, he didn't just say, you know, well, some of you who are very advanced spiritually, how to be able to experience this thing. He said it to everybody. He didn't designate who. He says, whoever loves Him and believes in Him, this is something that you should be able to anticipate, that it's normal to have a wonderful, joyous experience when you're in contact, when you're in relationship with the Lord. So Jesus says, listen, when you come to me, I want you just to kind of just breathe a sigh of relief and be like, Our father, our dad. You know, historians say that this is, when Jesus said this, this was a groundbreaking moment, the way they put it, a groundbreaking moment in the evolution of religion. Because it really was a groundbreaking moment in the revelation of God's relationship to human beings that Jesus was introducing here. It's a revolutionary idea that you could just put all your paranoia, all this unholy, and I say unholy fear because there is such a thing as a holy fear, right? And respect for God, but this unholy paranoia and understanding that God loves you, He's on your side, He wants to give you what He needs. And so then Jesus goes on to show them how you can cover all of it in just 57 words. That introduction that I just took a little snippet from the Egyptian prayer was over 60 words. Jesus covers everything in 57 words. And so everybody's thinking, well, Pastor Greg, why don't you learn a little something from Jesus so you can get your sermons down to 57 words. But think of that. 57 words. Watch, look what he covers in just 57 words. He covers the spiritual, the physical, and the relational. All spheres. Our Father who's in heaven, the spiritual, understanding there's another dimension that you can't see, but that you can access. Physical. Give us this day our daily bread, your daily needs, and relational. Forgive us as we forgive others, our relation with Him and our relationship with others. Also in those same 57 words, it encompasses all of time, the past, the present, and the future. Forgiveness, that's happened in the past. The present, daily bread right now. Guidance in the future. Lead us not into temptation. So we have the past, we have the present, we have the future. We're covering the spiritual, the physical, and then something we talked about a little bit last week that I want to look at a little more this morning before we close is if you divide it in half, it starts off with God in the beginning, and then moves into your needs in the second half. Your name, your holy name, God. Lord, holy is your name, and then your kingdom come, and your will be done. It's all about God, and then we move into our needs, our daily, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, deliver us from the evil. And all of this he does in record time, and like I said last week, I think the prayer can function on two different levels. I think that I don't have any problem with people if they actually recite the prayer word for word. Listen, if you've had a crazy day, you're feeling lousy, and you just don't know what to say, then why not use Jesus' words? But I also think that it was a model that he's giving us, how we can set up our prayers, a framework, if you will, that we can hang our own words on and understand a framework that is the way we ought to pray if we really want to pray correctly and if we want to make sure he's got the whole gamut already there. If you look at his model, we can look at his model and we'll pray according to his will. Jesus said, when you pray, and I think this is interesting because this is how he starts off. He says, when you pray, start with me. Start with me. Before you ask for anything else, the primary goal of prayer is the first thing you should do is ask for God. Ask for Him. Start with God's agenda and His Word. And when you start there, it's not like he's saying, listen, your needs, I know you got a lot of things that you need. I know you've got a lot of problems going on. And I'm not saying those things aren't important. I'm not telling you to ignore those things. But he's saying, let's just start with me first. Your Father, when you get together, say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And consider that. And maybe by the time you get through those things, maybe your things will get in a better perspective and they won't own you the way they currently do. You start focusing on me first, maybe those things will take on a little different perspective and they won't be taking up so much space in your head. So start with me. Rather than starting with Greg's kingdom and Greg's will, let's start with God's kingdom and God's will. And place those things, all those things, the stress, my anxiety, my worries, my concerns, all of those things, and put them where they belong in God's big, beautiful, mysterious world, His kingdom, concentrating on Him, how amazing He is, place it there, and then get a new perspective and see if it doesn't start to just free you up a little bit. Placing it in light of who God is and what God's doing, and God's blessing and favor and His desire to give you what you need, place it there and then just see if it doesn't not have the same power over you that it did before. Then you're just in a much healthier place to go ahead and move on and say, okay, now I'm ready to let you know some of my needs and the daily bread that I need, or temptations that I'm dealing with, or broken relationships that I know are going to need some forgiveness and help. And I think that's one of the things that we've been trying to kind of, even myself, getting to understand better and get us to understand better at our Tuesday night prayer meetings, because what happens is we skip the whole first part of that prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. And what we do is we get rid of that and we skip straight to daily bread. And we want to go straight to what my needs are. And Jesus said, wait a minute, now I've got something else that you need to do first to get the right perspective. You know, and we just start right in. You know, well, this one, this needs to happen, and this particular person it needs money, and these things just have to happen. If they don't happen, I don't know what's going to happen. And we just have a torrent of words, and it's like babbling. Bartalegia. You know what? If you don't pray the ways Jesus tells us to pray, it can actually be kind of depressing. Did you ever notice that? I mean, I've done that. Just not really thought about the order of what Jesus said. Let's start with me and my great, wonderful, mysterious kingdom. And I have a will that needs to be done. It's done in heaven. And just look for my will to be done right here on earth. And I'm the one you're looking to. Instead, you just skip straight to, you know, your daily bread. And you think, okay. And what you do is you spend an hour praying about all these things. Even before you start praying, you could say, well, does anybody have a request? Yeah, I have one. My friend's got cancer. Okay, how about you? Well, this couple's getting a divorce. Okay, wonderful. And how about you? I know somebody else that's just got laid off, and we need. By the time you get done with the request, you're already kind of feeling wiped out. And then you go to pray, and if all we do is concentrate on all of these needs, you can get to a point where what you've done is you've just simply focused and rehearsed all the things that get you down and depress you, and then it's no wonder nobody wants to come to prayer meeting. Maybe we should. That's why we've been trying to say, you know what? Let's try and pray the way Jesus said to pray. Let's start with Him. Man, if we look at Him, if we can get a revelation of Him, a glimpse of Him, then all these other things are going to take their proper perspective when we know they aren't going to be a big deal at all to Him. And He's in control. He's sovereign. Jesus says, wait now, don't go too fast. First things first, start with me. This huge, wonderful creator who brought everything into being, the creator of the universe, certainly ought to be able to now we can place our needs before Him. If He could create the world, then He certainly can create something good out of this mess I need to place before Him. But let me remember who He is first and who I'm placing these things before. Adore Him. Be thankful to Him. Your kingdom come, let your will be done. I love the way Keller puts this. He says it this way. He says God-centeredness comes first because it heals the heart of self-centeredness. That's how we start our prayer. Start with God-centeredness. And we'll find ourselves being healed of our self-centeredness, and it frees us up to be able to pray maybe more the way we should be praying. The more way He would like us to be praying. And I think that's huge. So many people say that, and even counselors, people that I know that deal with people, they say that there is a mentality, behavioral scientists, a mentality of self-absorption and narcissism that is unprecedented. It's almost like epidemic proportions in today's world. Even those who claim to be spiritual. Jesus said, you need to start with me. Why? Because He's in charge. He's Lord. You ever hear that thing? He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. We don't really like people being in charge of us. Modern spirituality is just the opposite, right? It doesn't start with God, it starts with us. I'm going to start with me. And so I'm going to decide what's right for me. It may not be right for you, but it's right for me. And I'm going to decide what's wrong for me. It may not be wrong for you, but it's wrong for me. We're not going to start with God. We're going to start with me and what I think is best, what I think is right. And you could do the same. And maybe I'll even use the Bible a little bit. You know, we could go over to Exodus 20 and we could look at that. And it says, you know, thou shalt not lie. Well, I guess I could go with that. That's not a bad idea. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I guess that's okay. Maybe we'll try another area of the Bible. And then we get over maybe to something like 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it says, let every man have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. Well, hold on a minute now. I'm not so sure about marriage and all this commitment stuff, you know. Isn't it much better if we just live together? It's not really practical in today's world, is it? So, you know what, I'm going to just kind of create my own idea, my own God. I'm not going to really go by this. I'm going to write my own thing up. So we do is we produce a God that can't disagree with us or oppose us in any way. I'm going to come up with a God that won't contradict my lifestyle so I don't have to deal with anything. And what happens is we put ourselves in the place of God. I'm not going to allow God to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell me what to do. The only problem is, I hate to tell you, is you're underqualified for the job. You ever get a job that you're underqualified for? Man, been there, done that, you know? Actually, I have one right now. It's only the grace of God that you could ever do this. You know, wow, you know? But I can remember, Jimmy, back in the music days, I got this agent, I was telling TK, and this guy, he got me auditions. I was, some of you might not know, I was in the music industry, I was a drummer, and I went to music school for 2 years, and I got what I considered probably about as valuable as a bowling trophy, you know, in music performance. Now, what are you going to do with that? You know, there's only about a million other people that are trying to do. So anyway, but this agent got me some great auditions. And one of the first ones was these guys, and I went in, man, they were like studio musicians, and they put a chart in front of me. I'm supposed to read, you know, and they played, oh yeah, let's just play a little something. And it was like this way out there jazz fusion song. It was like drumming I'd hardly ever heard of in my life, you know, and then they give me the music sheet, and it's like, okay, I think I'm a little underqualified, you know. But it's like, you know what, you think that was underqualified, how much more putting myself in God's place and taking His job and figuring that I know better how to be organized and how to run our lives and how society should be put together. The one who created the universe. Basically, Jesus says, pray to God, know that He loves you like a father, but as you pray, are you willing to surrender no matter what He says? His kingdom first, His will first. Listen, if God said lanky German preachers have to do handstands, I'd learn to do a handstand. I mean, He's God. You know what, am I going to argue with Him? You know, I get together with my son-in-law, Michael, or his brother, Christian, and ask him to try and teach me how to do handstands, you know? I mean, if that's what God says, then that's what I'm going to do, you know? The core issue is, if you disagree with what God's Word says, will you still submit to Him? Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, He said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross. More than that, Jesus says, will you pray that? Will you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I'm just going to do that. You know what? We're going to do that on Tuesday. I'm going to just take the Lord's Prayer as our model, and we're going to say, all right, let's just take some time and dwell on our Father and how wonderful He is, how holy His name is. Okay, now let's take some time and just seek His kingdom and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we can go into some time for our needs and our daily bread. Because don't forget, when He said it, He didn't say, pray my kingdom come. He said, our kingdom. He wants us to pray it together, too. Forgive us. And we, all those words are used in there. In the meantime, Jesus said, don't forget that it only works if you're interested in a relationship with Him. And you're spending time alone with Him. You know, it's kind of a funny thing talking about being underqualified. I mean, you can get people on a Sunday morning, they're from all different spheres. Some people have really been following hard after God. Some other people are maybe in a slightly different place, or it's new. And so I was just like, you know what? Why don't I just, instead of you leaving here with, geez, I got to pray more, I got to spend time alone. Well, then you get alone. It's like, well, now what do I do? So I just wanted to give you just something that I saw years ago that was very practical and helps me. I'm just going to leave you with this, and maybe you could try it sometime in your own private prayer time this week. Just start with a couple simple things, and here's what I had. The first time in your personal prayer time, the first point that I had, if you want to just hit, should be one more. Just start with a portion of Scripture. Maybe find a psalm somewhere. Or just read even what we read this morning. I take the Lord's Prayer and just read it over, look at it. Again, it could be a psalm, some portion of Scripture, not too big, and then take it and study it for a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes, depending on how much time you have, and just look at it, read it through. You know, there's a million things. If you want to get some insight or commentary from somebody else, just go to Google it and see what comes up, and maybe get your mind spinning a little bit with some other people who have really studied these things, see on it, and then shut your eyes and meditate on it yourself to get it inside yourself. Think it through and just kind of meditate about what God is saying in this Scripture, and then seek His will in this way. Ask this question, Lord, what are you telling me about you? What do you, Lord, I just read this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, what are you trying to tell me about you? You're my shepherd, you want to take care of me, you want to, shepherds lead, shepherds protect. I shall not want? I mean, you want me to get in such a place, be so tight with you, that I'm not a frustrated person that needs all these other things, but I'm actually feeling a sense of contentment because I'm understanding the kind of relationship that you want with me as your shepherd. What is it, God, that you're trying to tell me about you? And then, now, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me about me? I mean, that's a great way just to get his kingdom focus. Lord, we'll start with you. What is it that you want to show me about you? And now maybe there's some things, God, that you want to show me about me. And see what he shows you. Again, when we can come together on Tuesdays, it's only as powerful, our public time will only be as powerful as our private time is. If we've been spending time with God alone, when we come together, it's going to be so much more fruitful and so much more productive. And we've seen an increase on Tuesday. It's been a great experience, and I encourage you to come out. But let's start with this on our own. Just asking God, well, what do you want to tell me about you in this scripture, Lord? And now, what do you want to tell me about me? Let's pray right now.